Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums now for 40 years. Straight up, 41 years come next month. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am ever so modest host. When I say modest, haha, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning journalist. So I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average boxing fan now, is there an average boxing fan? Jake Paul, Gervonta Davis, I mean, this is what boxing has to offer in 2025. Of course, we're just like 13 days away from the Terrence Crawford Canelo Alvarez showdown. But the bottom line is, Jake Paul and Gervonta Davis are front page news in the boxing world. It's pretty sad that you got a 135-pound guy that's going to fight a guy that walks around about 215, 220 pounds. Talk about a mismatch in size. Of course, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. But get this, Davis can fight. Jake Paul can't. Straight up a little ghetto guy, maybe going to kick this big white boy's ass. Who knows? Straight up, they're going to do this in November, I think, on some type of Netflix. No pay-per-view. They can't go to pay-per-view with this. Of course, they can rip people off on Netflix to get Netflix to buy this. Netflix, if there's enough curious people out there that want to see Jake Paul in a squared circle, a boxing ring, that Netflix is willing to invest multi-millions of dollars in the guy. Of course, I think he's a waste. Straight up, here's the phone lines once again, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7. And of course, wow, Rawhide Jackson, the son of Rampage Jackson, the former UFC light heavyweight champion, I think at one point in time. Bottom line is, he's nuts. I mean, I'm going to talk about what he did. He's got attempted murder charges against him. He got into a beef with some guys, some professional wrestler guy. They got no beef outside, blah, 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 and outside the arena. And then when the wrestling match was going down inside the arena, he knocked the guy unconscious, and then he hit him and elbowed him, like, so severely. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. I have never seen anything like this. You got to watch it up on some video. Check it out. Rawhide Jackson, R-A-J-A Jackson. Of course, that's on YouTube and everywhere else. But the bottom line is, it was a vicious assault, and it could have ended up in the guy's death. But we'll talk about that. And death, we'll talk about Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan didn't die so naturally, folks. We'll talk about that more today. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. The impeccable one is in the house. I'm talking to Mr. Bailey Peck. Bailey, take it away.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
For sure. I think I'm the face of boxing already. If we been real. I think I'm the face of boxing right now. I think that Canelo going out the door, all the top guys, Canelo probably the only one, but he's going out the door, so.
Gervonta Tank Davis. Last time we saw him in a boxing ring, it was a bit of a spectacle. Of course, he took a knee and then he stuck his head out between the ropes. I don't know what was going on there. He was having some emotional breakdown in there. Said he had some perm in his eyes or something like that. Of course, the referee did nothing. He didn't take any points and absolutely nothing. Of course, Lamont Roach ended up being shorted on that fight. They called it a draw. They called it a majority draw when Roach won by a couple, if not 3 points. At the end of the day, Roach is getting screwed here because Jake Paul and Gervonta Davis have signed to do something in November on Netflix. Now, the man that called, Gervonta Davis said that the man that called this or predicted this is on the line, of course, from the Bronx. We'll talk about Tommy D. Didn't like to be called Tommy D at first, but now the name is stuck. It's Tommy D all over the place in the world, of course, YouTube and other websites, right?
Yeah. Other websites, in quotations.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk. How you doing, Pedro?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, but you called us like a couple of months ago. Why?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that hard to like predict. It's just that it's whether or not you believed what he said to be true or not, and I believed it. You know, in the press conference, in a post-fight press conference, in the fight that was, you know, somewhat of a spectacle, like you just mentioned, you know, he came to the post-fight like an hour or two, after the fight, late, and then he said, you know, they asked him, is there going to be a rematch, and he said he would like to, but, you know, we got another fight in place. And then they ask him against who, and he says, yeah, you'll find about it shortly, but, yeah, he was in my locker room. So, I mean, you put two and two together, and a lot of people put that together, and I said, he's going to fight Jake Paul next. And, you know, the next month, Jake Paul makes a statement saying he was trying to make a fight with Canelo and Tank, and they both didn't go through, and that he was moving on. So that told us that he was definitely looking to fight Jake Paul. People said that Jake Paul was lying, you know, that Tank would never fight him, he's too big, you know, yada, yada, yada. And fast forward to a couple of days ago, the big announcement, he's fighting Jake Paul. So, and I've been consistent with it ever since March 2nd, the day after.
Is
the
fighting the operative word? Is that the correct word to use, fighting?
Not in this case, it's not a fight. In this case, it's a sideshow. It's a circus event. I mean, you know, you got a guy that's 135 pounds fighting a guy that's over 200 pounds, you know, supposedly fighting, right? It's not really a fight. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, who would want to see this? And why are you doing this? Well, I guess there's a lot of millions to be involved, and that's why you're doing it. But it's not what any of the boxing fans want to see. Nobody asked for this. Nobody called for this.
Good point. But Jake Paul sort of does what he wants. I'm looking at a list of opponents here that he had. Of course, a lot of wrestlers and Tyrone Woodley. And, of course, he got Canelo on there. And he's got Nader and Nick Diaz on there. And Kamaru Usman and Tommy Fury. I think Tommy Fury beat him. Anyway, Conor McGregor and Gervonta Davis. And, of course, he got Logan Paul as well. I mean, how did this guy come to light? I mean, he couldn't lick a stamp in my mind in the real world of boxing if you wet his tongue. I said he was good for boxing at one point in time because he was getting people on the underside paid. Amanda Serrano, case in point, okay? She made a lot of money because of Jake Paul. Outside of that, she'd probably be standing in line for food stamps. But outside of that, he hasn't done a whole lot positive in boxing, man. I mean, he's been like a detriment to the sport, and the sport doesn't need too many detriments right now. It's almost at an all-time low if it isn't at an all-time low.
I mean, the guy is a YouTuber. The guy made his money off of, you know, I guess social media, YouTube, and
he has a big following. How do you make your money on social media? Does he give advice or something?
I have no idea. I've never watched anything he did before him coming to light and before his name really got big in the boxing world. Like, I really didn't know who this guy was. I didn't know who Logan Paul was until, you know, you started seeing the names in wrestling and in boxing. Like, I have no idea. All I know is that he was a YouTuber, and he has a huge following. Sort of like that guy Garcia out in L.A. He's got a big following, too, and people love him. Whether the skills that he has, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Jake Paul. Is he a real fighter? Yeah, he hasn't really got tested. But here's the thing. Tank Davis has been the A side for most of his career. He sold out something like 9 straight venues in a row, right? He just now made Jake Paul, who's not really a legit fighter, the face of boxing by taking the B side to Jake Paul. And that's something that people should speak about and kind of like scratch their heads about. Like, how did this guy become the face of boxing? You know, I like what he's done with the women's boxing. He's gotten them exposure. He's gotten them paid. You know, I think him being an advocate for women's boxing, I think he could be remembered for that. But now he's going to be remembered for getting Tank Davis in the ring with him in some big time, you know, circus event in November.
Okay. Of course, that is the November, I think, 14th is the date they're talking about, and it's going to be at the State Farm Arena. Bottom line is, it's probably going to sell out the arena. It's going to do well as far as the numbers are concerned on Netflix. So what is I'm going to ask you one more time. You're a boxing fan. What is Jake Paul's attraction? Is he like the John Holmes of porn? What's up? What's he got?
I honestly, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean,
is he a stud? Is he a ladies' man? I mean, is the guy like laid out all kinds of broads that we don't know about? Like he's a super player or some kind? Is he super fly?
I have no idea. I'm still scratching my head trying to figure it out. But for whatever following he had and whatever name he had and why people love him, it's picked up more now that he got involved with boxing and, you know, he's putting on these events. So I honestly don't get it. I don't understand what's the big deal with this guy, but people love him, and people watch. People had paid for his pay-per-views. People watch on Netflix. Whatever MVP had a show last night. I want to see how they did last night because that's his promotion, right? MVP Promotions. They had a card last night. I didn't think the card was anything special, so I'll be interested to see how many people actually watch. But honestly, I don't know. I don't get it with this guy.
Okay. We're going to change subjects. Let's go to Japan. Of course, the land of the sun, Tokyo, Japan, of course, where boxing is like it's a religion. It's a lifestyle. I've never seen fighters as dedicated to the sport of boxing as I have Japanese fighters. There's something that they have. It's like a sixth sense. I don't know what it is, but they've got this extra edge. They'll go the extra yard, the extra mile, the whole nine yards. Recently, in Tokyo, of course, two guys are in the hospital. One guy was dead. One guy died. The other guy got severely hurt, had brain surgery and things like that. This is not good. This is not good for boxing. But, you know, Mills Lane brought this up maybe 15, 20 years ago now. But the bottom line is he said to me, you know, heavyweights don't get these subdural hematomas. They usually don't die from ring accidents. They rarely die from ring accidents. It's always these small guys, the guys that cut weight to make their swim, cut weight to make the weight, cut extreme amounts of weight. Do you think there's some merit to that, Tommy?
I think there is some merit to that. I mean, because heavyweights, heavyweights could fight at whatever weight they want to fight at, right? These guys, they drain themselves to fight at lower weights to try to get an advantage somewhat, being a bigger guy against other, you know, smaller guys, I guess. I mean, it has to. There's no water in the brain, right? Like you use water in the brain when you lose that amount of weight, you know? So, I mean, I would think it has something to do with that. You know, I'm not a scientist or anything like that, so
you don't have to be. You don't have to be a neurophysicist or a neurosurgeon, anything like that. We all know that when you dry out, that your brain fluids get light and like things like that. Yep. Of course, Gerald McClellan's a classic example of that. I don't know if you know that Gerald was a WBC super middleweight, and I think he was fighting for the anyway. Bottom line is, he went over and fought Nigel Benn in England. He knocked Nigel Benn out of the ring in the first round, knocked him to like the second row. It was like a longer than a 10 count, maybe longer than a 20 count. But the bottom line is the referee let the fight continue because Nigel Benn was a hometown guy. And later on in the fight, Gerald McClellan, the weight got to him. And of course, he had brain damage and this and that. And of course, when I last saw him, I think it was about 10, 15 years ago, I was in near Chicago doing some Rockport, Illinois, doing a benefit for him and Greg Page. And he said to me, hey, Page, man, how are you? I said, I'm good, bro. How good, Gerald? How are you? He goes, all right. He goes, hey, man, where's Emmanuel? Is Emmanuel coming? Emmanuel's your friend. Is Emmanuel coming? I didn't have the heart to tell him no. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I told him, I said, Emmanuel's busy. Emmanuel's working a car. He's in the corner. I said, you know, if he wasn't working tonight, he'd be here. You know that, Gerald, right? But Gerald's brain damage, he's blind. He was a guy that cut so much weight. He would cut from like 185 to 168 in a day.
Yeah.
In a day. Yeah. He cut 17, 18 pounds in a day.
Wow. That's in a day. That's crazy.
That was Gerald. And of course, Gerald ended up being permanently injured. So there's got to be some merit to this drying out and getting hurt. I mean, because all the guys that get hurt severely dry out to an unnatural weight.
Yeah, and I agree 10,000%. You know, I just don't like to make statements that I'm not certified to make. But yeah, man, you know, Ray Charles could see this and explain it. You know, it doesn't take a fool to not see what's been going on and why, you know, some of these fighters, you know, are getting, you know, more damaged than others. And it's the guys coming down in weight.
Dr. Dillamuth, more with Tommy D after the break.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
The world's greatest promoter. Don King celebrated his 94th birthday. Here's a Don King story. We were in Hungary, circa 2012. I think it was a WBO convention, 2012, of course, in Budapest, Hungary. They put me up in a penthouse apartment on the top floor of the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown Budapest. And from that vantage point, Hungary's capital just sparkled at night, folks. Of course, and Don King, the big mouth that he is, he's always got something to say, right? Well, I call him the King of Nap. He loved that nickname I gave him. Of course, the King of Nap is holding court in the lobby of the hotel here, the Intercontinental Hotel. He doesn't have any bodyguards, seeing his longtime security guy. I'm talking about Isidore. He ate himself out of a job before later dying in the COVID era. But then again, of course, DK is standing in this lobby, and there's all this European press around him. And of course, Don King blows me up in front of the media. Folks, this is Pedro Fernandez, the host of Ring Talk. DK doesn't give up the podium, per se, but he gives me an invite to a sporting club in a speaking event a little bit later. So anyway, this limo shows up to pick us up. This limo's blacker than Don, I kid you not. Whoever organized this event sent us in a limousine that was pitch black with a bullet-resistant body and bullet-resistant windows. You could feel the weighty difference when you close the door. I didn't know what was going on here. Bottom line is, they put us on stage with an interpreter at the sporting club that King's going to speak at. Of course, after King posed for pictures with just about everybody, they sat us on the stage with a long table in front of us. Of course, it's me, Don King, and a translator whom I was convinced was a Hungarian government agent. Because every time we said something prior to the DK speech, this fool would laugh seemingly sans rhyme or reason. There was no reason for him to be laughing. Why was he laughing? Anyway, all this white crowd, and I'm talking about Snow White crowd of all these Hungarians, they can't believe their eyes. The audience is gawking at Don King as he has piqued their curiosity and they are submitting a few written questions for him. Gazing out of the crowd, I checked that my microphone is off by tapping on it before saying, quote, "Look at them. They ain't never seen nothing as black as you, DK," end of quote. Don King's priceless response, Don didn't care to check his open microphone before saying, "Pedro, they only let niggas in here with money," end of quote. Don King, happy birthday. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hey, that's DK. Nobody has. I've got all kinds of stories about these guys. Some of them I'll go public with, some I won't. I mean, personal bond with somebody. You're not going to tell everybody. I mean, I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying I would green light he did anything crooked in front of me, but there's certain confidential things that you just, you know, you, like friendship. Like, I don't tell people about your background.
My background.
Tommy, we don't need to go there.
Nah, let's not. I mean, you just gave me a doctor certificate at the end of the last segment. You called me Dr. Dillamuth. By the way, my wife loves that nickname rather than Tommy D.
Dr. Dillamuth?
Yes.
I'm going to have to include that.
She loved it.
When it comes to contract, you know, we'll have to figure that one out. Bottom line is, though, DK turned 94 years old. He's still gone. I mean, he's a shadow of his former self, but the fact that he's still rocking and rolling, man, more power to him.
Yeah, and he's still promoting fights.
No, he's not promoting fights.
Well, he's got Michael Hunter. Michael Hunter was about to fight Big Baby Miller.
Michael Hunter's Michael Hunter's fighting Bailey Peck. I mean, that's I mean, Don King does that. Those fight cards he puts on, they're not worth watching for free. I put it this way: they should be pay per view. You know what I mean by pay per view? They should pay you to watch them.
They should pay. That's messed up.
No, it's just how bad those cards are.
Yeah, no.
Remember that WBA Char, that WBA heavyweight title holder hit when he was holding the WBA hostage here for a couple years ago?
Well, now that's who they're making Michael Hunter fight instead of Jared Miller. He was going to fight Miller, and Don King said, no, you're going to fight, I think, Char, and I think that's the next fight that he has lined up for him. It was a big thing, yeah.
Anyway, who looks good in the American heavyweight scene right now? Is there anybody that stands out for you?
In the American scene? Yeah. I can't. I mean, Michael Hunter, to me, is probably the best one we have right now. I mean, Jared Anderson, I don't know what's up with him. He's not active. And, you know, the last couple times we've seen him, he didn't look good. And people were praising him as the next big American heavyweight. But right now, U.S. heavyweights is pretty much a dead issue right now. It's sad to say. I can't think of one.
You know, it used to be that guys would fall out of other sports and come into boxing. Guys would come out of football and basketball and things like that, and they come into boxing. We're not seeing that crossover anymore at all.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, because the market has changed, and you know, guys, people are getting paid more in a lot of different sports. So, you know, why do a crossover if you're not going to get paid for it? You know, unless you're a big time star, like Jake Paul, but, you know, you're not going to get paid. You're not going to get paid a lot of money to do it, go in the ring and get banged out.
You watch the Vince McMahon show, I mean, or the X-Men, WWE. What's going on with their contracts? Have they got a new television deal?
From what we hear, they're moving over to ESPN now. ESPN has the rights. I guess they're going to take the library and the history. I guess they're moving. I think right now WWE is with Peacock, and I think now they're going to move all the history and stuff to ESPN, and they'll put on the big shows, the pay-per-views that they do that usually you can see on Peacock will now be on ESPN.
I got a question for you. How can you watch wrestling as fake as it is? I mean, let me tell you, in the old days, there was kayfabe. I mean, these guys would, like, act the role out. I mean, you see them at restaurants, the villains, the bad guys would snarl at you and all this kind of good stuff. Now, everybody knows it's, like, choreographedness and that the finishes are predetermined. And I think that when Vince McMahon, you know why he did that, right? So because the athletic commissions had jurisdiction over the wrestling matches of various states, and it was costing him a few bucks in taxes to have an athletic commission doctor and that kind of stuff. So he turned it from a sport, an exhibition, to an exhibition. But based on bottom line, that's Vince to cut taxes. At the end of the day, though, how do you watch that, though? I mean, come on.
It's a soap opera. That's what it is. And, you know, it's gotten worse because now they're even showing documentaries on how they have the lead-ups to these fights, how they start the rivals, and they're talking to the wrestlers. They're showing both the heels and you know, the fan favorite and the villains together talking about what they're going to do. Like, you know, and they're exposing all of this to the world on TV and documentaries on Peacock right now on Netflix. They're showing this, and like that's why kayfabe is definitely dead. They're basically going out there and telling you how it works, and people still watch and love it. They love the storylines.
All right, here's a good one. When kayfabe was going good, Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik were fighting each other. It was like a war. They were traveling all across the country fighting each other in every town, this and that. So the cops pulled them over one night, and they've got 32 roaches in the ashtray. They've been smoking weed on this road trip, okay? So they got 32, it's a rental car, and they got 32 burnt joints in the ashtray. I mean, it takes, you're smoking a lot of weed to burn up 32 joints between two guys, okay? But they were going from state to state, city to city, wrestling each other, but they were wrestling, you know, one guy was a good guy, Duggan, and the bad guy was the Iron Sheik and the whole nine yards. And of course, when McMahon found out about that, he fired them both.
Wow.
Because that's what, because kayfabe was, you know what I'm saying? People took that spit seriously back then. Listen, I used to watch Peter Maiva. I used to watch The Rock when he was a kid, when he was like 5, 6, 7 years old in his mother's arms out there at the Cow Palace when his father, Rocky Johnson, would wrestle.
Yeah. But do you remember Dr. David Schultz?
Sure. When he slapped the ABC guy?
Yep, he slapped, I think his name was John John Stossel.
Stossel, yes. He got the snot snapped out of him. Slapped out of him.
Yeah, because he was protecting the business. He got in trouble for that.
No, I don't think McMahon took care of him after that too well. I don't think so.
No, he didn't. Nope, I don't think he did. No.
And he was doing that for the business, not for anybody else.
Yep. Exactly. But now they let you know everything that's going to happen or everything that's about to happen and why it happened and stuff like that. It's crazy, but people finding interesting and people love it still, and they still make good money, especially overseas. Overseas, they love the product. I mean, they're singing along with the intros and, you know, doing chants like if it was a soccer event. I mean, you know, but people love it. It's just like why anybody watches a TV show or series on TV if they're watching HBO Game of Thrones or something.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Then why can't a longtime wrestling fan like me look at today's wrestling and enjoy it?
I don't know. I mean, it's not the same. I mean, it's too predictable, I guess. Maybe that's why.
You know, I remember when I met Pat Patterson, he was the United States heavyweight champion out here. Of course, he got involved in some gay scandals later, this and that. And then I realized he was at the Barber College with his gay boyfriend or his gay husband. I can't remember what his name is right now. But anyway, he was with this dude at the Barber College. My uncle ran the Barber College. And then I realized that Pat Patterson was gay. Do you know how tough it was to accept Pat Patterson being the United States heavyweight champion and being gay? You know what I was only like 14. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, well, this spit is not right. Spit with an H.
Yeah, I can imagine. I couldn't answer that for you.
I mean, I was like, wow. I wasn't sexually confused. I was wrestling confused. I mean, come on! You can't tell me United States heavyweight champion is a sissy. but then again, he bleaches his own hair. You know what they call that, right?
No, what do they call that?
A suicide blonde when you died by your own hands.
Oh, man. Okay.
Bro, you got to give me some credit. That's one of my original lines from back in 1980. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You have a great week. I got to cut you off real quick. Have a great week. Hug the wife. Tell her I said hi.
I will do. You have a good one too, Pedro.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide continues after the break.
Give me those sauces. Grab the chicken strips. Let's dunk them in there. There's nothing like it. Hey, I'm Joey.
And I'm Josh.
And we're team members at our local Chick-fil-A.
And a little thing you'll love about the Chick-fil-A chicken strips is dipping them in our sauces.
My sauce is the barbecue sauce.
If you wanted to add sweet, tangy flavors, there's nothing like it.
I love the garden herb ranch sauce, but if you want a little bit more kick in the spicy side, you can mix it with buffalo sauce.
Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You want to take Ashes Clay when Howard Cosell and everybody is calling you Muhammad Ali? Now, why you got to be the one of all people whose color to keep saying Cassius Clay? My name is Muhammad Ali, and you will announce it right there in the center of that ring after the fight if you don't do it now.
Muhammad Ali calling out Ernie Terrell. Ernie Terrell stood 6'7". I kid you not, he was a huge, a giant of a man. You know what he told me afterwards, 1992 at the International Boxing Hall of Fame? I said to him, why did you continue to call him Clay when he wanted to be called Muhammad Ali? Because I thought there was no way in the world he could ever whoop me. He was so small compared to me, there was no way he could whoop me. There was no way. And the bottom line is, Ernie Terrell got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. Now, subject at hand, Hulk Hogan. Of course, born Terry Bollea, the man, of course, that passed away July 24th, I believe, down here in Florida. Of course, he was a natural condition, allegedly. They said it was heart failure or a heart attack and things like that. And, of course, Terry Bollea, his doctor was Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald. Of course, and his past includes prescribing a lot of opiates. Now, why do I say that? Because the Florida Doctors Commission, whoever looks over doctors, put him up on charges and investigate him over the fact that he was giving a guy 120 Vicodins a month for more than 14 months for knee pain. For knee pain. 120 Vicodins a month. I kid you not, 120 Vicodins a month. For 14 months, around 14 months, and the guy ended up dying from an OD, an opiate OD. And the reason why I'm bringing this kind of up is that this is Hulk Hogan's doctor, Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald. And of course, I'm bringing up his past because, of course, when Hogan passed away, he was like the last official doctor that we got some word from. In other words, he said that it was his determination that Hulk Hogan, born Terry Bollea, had died from natural causes, a heart condition or a heart attack or something like that. But here's what's up. Me being the private investigator and the astute journalist that I am, I looked around, I looked into the records, I looked real, real close to things, and I came up with the fact that I want to thank Bubba the Love Sponge is on this too, because he was talking about this even before I was. But the bottom line is, I found that Hulk Hogan was administered Narcan twice in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. He was pronounced dead. Now, they would only prescribe Narcan to you if you had an opiate problem. It wouldn't be for a heart attack. I talked to a doctor about this. The doctor said that you probably wouldn't be using a Narcan if you were having a heart attack, but you would use it if you needed to turn back an opiate overdose. And this is the way I see things, of course, from my private investigator and my ex-cop point of view, okay? Let me tell you, Hulk Hogan's 71 years old, okay? He's at home. He had surgery a few weeks ago, and they had a problem with the surgery. The problem was they nicked something called the phrenic nerve, P-H-R-E-N-I-C. And this nerve controls the motor control of the diaphragm. In other words, breathing in and out. This is what this controls. And evidently, it was nicked in that last surgery, that spinal surgery he had. Of course, he had all kinds of surgery, but the bottom line is that is allegedly impaired his breathing to an extent. But get this, he's allegedly in a recliner chair sitting at home with, you know, kicking back, this and that, watching TV, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. But he wasn't in his bed because he had a hospital bed there, but he wasn't in his hospital bed per se. He was said to be in a reclining chair, kicking back. Now, here's where it gets a little shaky, and stay with me on this one, okay? So Hulk Hogan's kicking back. He's got this doctor that overprescribes opiates, right? And this doctor's the guy that's the last guy that has the last word on his death, or his death being natural. So this guy's been brought up on charges for opiates in the past. Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, he had serious opiate problems for years. Over 40 wrestlers have died in the last 10 or 15 years, according to my research, from opiate overdoses. Poisoning, call it what you want. But the bottom line is, you know, they're in pain all the time, and they use these downers to kill pain, okay? And according to Bubba the Love Sponge, of course, who was, I think he, Hulk Hogan or Terry Bollea, was the best man at his wedding. They named one of their kids after, something like that. Bottom line is, they were real tight for a long time. Okay, and he says that he did a lot of opiates, a lot of pain pills with Terry Bollea. Now, I want to think that Terry Bollea was kicking back, that this doctor, Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald, quite possibly gave him some opiates, and that he took the opiates while he was sitting in that chair, and, you know, the pain was killing him a little bit too much, and somehow you took one too many. You just took one too many, and before you know it, your heart stops, your breathing stops, and you're essentially dead. I mean, that's what happens with opiate poisoning. Heroin overdose is the whole, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So when Hulk Hogan's given Narcan twice in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, that tells me that there were some opiates involved. So what I'm trying to tell you is, the way I think it went down is that he killed himself, but not intentionally. I mean, from my 30 years of investigative experience, 30 plus years, that's the way I see it. As a cop and a private investigator and a journalist, that's the way I see it. That he was kicking back in the bed, kicking back in the recliner chair. He was in pain. He was kicking it, watching TV, something like that. Popped a couple or one too many of those downers, those pain pills, and it stopped his heart and it stopped his breathing. What it does is, when you take opiates, it slows your respiratory system down. Well, if you take enough of it, it slows it to a stop. So evidently, it appears that Hulk Hogan took enough opiates that it caused his heart to stop, and they gave him this Narcan twice in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, which sort of conflicts with what Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald said. That's his name, Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald. Bottom line is, we'll see how this goes. Of course, the Clearwater Police Department, Clearwater, Florida, is where this took place. They have jurisdiction, and allegedly they wanted, said there was some the malpractice involved, medical malpractice. You may be the surgeon's nicking that phrenic nerve during that spinal surgery or something like that. Bottom line is, there was a whole lot of controversy in his death, the way they wanted to cremate him right away. In fact, that this Dr. Gerald Fitzgerald cleared him for cremation, like, bang, instantly. Said he died of natural causes, burn them up. Why did they want to burn them up? And why would Hulk Hogan, the biggest ego I've ever been around, even though he's a big puss, I told you about that one, right? We're in Las Vegas, I think it was 1991, and he was in the midst of some steroid scandal, and it was on front page of the newspaper and this and that, and I confronted him at the George Foreman, Alex Stewart press conference. I said to him, hey, Mr. Bollea, you want to talk about these steroids that you testified about before this grand jury? And he ran away from me. He, like, ran away. And then I chased him around the arena, of course, the Thomas and Mack Arena, the press conference, post-fight press conference for Alex Stewart and George Foreman. And then he went to Dina DeBuff, who was Bob Arum's stepdaughter. She was a PR person at Top Rank. And he went to her, and he got her to, why are you asking them questions? Why? Because we're at a press conference, and the guy's front page news. That's why I'm asking them questions. Besides, I didn't want to say it, but I've never been impressed with Hulk Hogan. He's nothing but a phony. He couldn't wrestle. It was a gimmick. The steroids were a gimmick. The steroids, without steroids, what would he be? What would he be without steroids? Nothing. He couldn't wrestle. He wouldn't know a wrist lock from a padlock. I kid you not. That's how bad. I mean, that leg drop or whatever his finishing move was. I mean, oh my God, the baddest guy in the history of wrestling, and they give him a finishing move like that. He couldn't wrestle. He was unentertaining. You guys got conned. It was all bull spit with an H. That was Vince McMahon at his very best. There's no doubt about it. Okay? And now, of course, in his later years, you know, he sort of moved away from wrestling, but he kept pumped up. He had to be on steroids into his 60s. He had to. I mean, come on, man. You don't walk around, like, at 270 pounds looking buffed and cut up like that at the age of 65 or 67, 68. I mean, with excess weight on you and muscles on you like that, unless you're doing something. He was doing something. There's no doubt about it. Plus, add to the fact that he had leukemia as well. He had some white blood cell issues. So, you know, Terry Bollea was in bad shape. But I think he sort of brought the death upon himself. I think that's the way it went down. I think he took one too many pain pills in that chair, and he was dead. And, of course, his wife, she's a Scientologist, and this makes me I'm very suspicious of religion in general. I think it's all a big con. I mean, let me tell you like this. You know, you're taught religion as a kid, right? I mean, that's when you're taught religion third of three, four, five, six, 7 years old, be scared of God and all this kind of stuff. They did it with me. Imagine them. Imagine if they didn't try to pull that con on you when you were 3 or 4 years old. And they went to you at the age of 18 and said, "You listen, there's this invisible guy that walks on water and this kind of stuff." You know what? You'd look at them and say, "Man, you must be out of your mind. You must be high." But no, they get you at such a young age and indoctrinate you in such a good young age as far as the brainwashing concerning religion in the world, whether it's Hindu or Muslim or Christian, or I don't go on. Bottom line, it's like over 4,000 religions. I think it's over 4,000 gods. But bottom line is, if they came to you when you were 18 years old and you had never heard of religion before, you had never heard of any of this stuff before, and they told you, "Listen, we want you to believe that some guy walks on water and that he had a virgin mother and all this kind of good stuff," and you start saying to yourself, "Hey, this stuff doesn't make too kind of much sense." Right, at 18, if they indoctrinated you at 18, you wouldn't have went for it. But you went for it because they indoctrinated you at the age 3, 4, and 5. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're off the sport of we're off the subject of religion. Let's go to the UFC. Of course, Mr. Dana White took his act to Shanghai, China. Of course, I've been to Shanghai before. Took Muhammad Ali to Shanghai in 1994. We had a great time, no doubt about that. Of course, in the main event in Shanghai last night, Johnny Walker defeated the hometown guy, Zhang Mayang. Of course, that was a TKO in the second round. And in a catchweight fight, a kid that we talked about on the show, I think we had him on the show once. We've played a lot of audio clips from him and video clips on Twitch and things like that. But the bottom line is, Brian Ortega, this young man could have been the Oscar De La Hoya of MMA. He was beautiful. He could fight. I'll say it again. He was beautiful. He could fight. He had everything. There was nothing he didn't have, okay? And then he got into a fight, and he got cut in this fight, and he got cut so bad, it was, how can I put this? I've never seen a cut that bad in the world of mixed martial arts. I saw one in boxing. I think it was the Tim Tszyu cut when he got elbowed by Sebastian Fedora last year. But the bottom line is, when he fought Alexander Volkanovski? Which one was the fight that he stopped? I take that back. It was the Max Holloway fight. He was 14-1 going into this fight. I'm talking about Brian Ortega, and he got stopped in the fourth round. It was a brutal fight. He was cut so bad. I mean, it was like he was leaking blood. I mean, the blood was pouring out of him, and they let it go round after round. Instead of, they called it a TKL stoppage, a doctor stoppage in the fourth round, at the end of the fourth round. But they should have stopped this when the cut took place. Okay, and instead they let this guy, this young Oscar De La Hoya looking guy, the future of MMA, they would have brought Mexican Americans into the world of MMA like you would not believe. I kid you not, because this kid had it all. Looks, he could fight, he had the skills. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is, I thought Brian Ortega was, I just thought he was the next greatest thing. There's no doubt about that. Of course, and he lost this past weekend and over in Shanghai. That's not a good thing. Of course, I don't know what to say about Brian Ortega except that, you know, Dana White ruined him. I mean, Dana White and he didn't get along. And, of course, Dana, you know, I'm not saying, it's trying to say Dana had something to do with letting the doctor let that fight continue like that. I'm not trying to say that. But the bottom line is, that was ugly, and there's no doubt about it. And I wish him the very best as far as his recovery is concerned. But Brian Ortega needs to find another job. Now, let's go to another sport. Keep it in MMA, professional wrestling as well. Ex-UFC Quentin Rampage Jackson's son, of course, attacked a guy. I mean, it was unbelievable. Let me tell you like this. It was some Knoxville pro wrestling event. Of course, Raja Jackson attended. Raja's a 25-year-old professional MMA fighter. He was involved with two incidents with this guy, Stuart Smith. One was shown outside. They got into a bit of a conflict outside of the arena, and then they got into a conflict inside the arena. Anyway, firstly, Jackson was shown being hit on the head outside the arena by the former UFC Army veteran. I don't know if this was part of a work or not, or if it was a real fight. Anyway, Smith was later fighting another opponent or wrestling another opponent or appearing to, the exhibition type of stuff, the pro wrestling, when Jackson climbed to the ring, picked him up, and slammed him onto the floor like you have never seen in your life. I mean, that was the most vicious slam I've ever seen in my life. It left the guy unconscious. I mean, lights out, baby. Lights out. And then, wow, Roger Jackson starts hitting this guy and pummeling this guy. I've never seen anybody beat on somebody like that in my entire life. You've got to go to YouTube. You've got to go to YouTube and see this. I kid you not. It's the most vicious beating I've ever seen in professional wrestling, MMA, or combine the two, since there's two guys involved. But the bottom line is, you got to look at this. The guy was getting elbowed and hit and punched and this kind of stuff, even after he was knocked out. It was crazy. Watch this out as Roger Johnson, of course, that is on YouTube. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Barry on Boxing will be here in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we're going to go into the Terrence Crawford, Canelo Alvarez fight. This is 13 days away. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with need to sell my home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro offers you his protection.
My baby Mary Wells, of course, the first queen of Motown. Berry Gordy, still like 96, 97, 98 years old. Of course, the guy that started Motown Records. A former professional boxer I talked about in the past many times, of course, trained by the great late Eddie Futch. Of course, speaking of great late, I thought that he was done. I'm talking about Ike Bayabuchi. Of course, I televised his fight with David Tua back in 1997, considered, I thought, the greatest heavyweight fight I've ever witnessed as far as two guys going back and forth, toe-to-toe. They threw a record number of punches, no question about that. Broke the CompuBox records and all that kind of stuff for heavyweights and HBO records, all and you name it. The fight was an incredible fight. Of course, he beat David Tua on a unanimous nod across the board for the WBC International Heavyweight title. Of course, after the fight, I interviewed Ike Bayabuchi, and I knew he was a nutcase. I mean, he was absolutely out of his mind. I said to myself, man, this guy's nuts. But anyway, you know, nuttiness in boxing is sort of goes hand in hand sometimes. So the bottom line is, I didn't think much of that. And then he went four or five fights later, and of course, he fought Chris Bird, and that was in 1999. That was his last fight before he raped a hooker. He raped a hooker. Well, how do you rape a hooker? Well, I guess you don't give her the money. But he invited some hooker to a fight. It was a Don King card in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he was staying at the Mirage Hotel. I think it was a Mirage or Flamingo Hilton. I forget which hotel it was. One of those two. But the bottom line is Ike was staying there. And Ike brought a hooker or had a hooker or a call girl or whatever it was. Brought her up to the room and this and that. And he did the deed with her. And he didn't want to pay her. So he locked her in the bathroom. Not a good thing, it's kidnapping, all right? So the bottom line is he went to jail for a long, long time, got out a couple years ago. What I'm trying to bring, why I'm bringing him up is that he fought a guy by the name of Idris Afeni yesterday in Lagos, Nigeria, and won with a fifth-round TKO. Of course, he's 53 years old, and I wish him the very best, but not in boxing. I mean, come on, I'm 53 years old, a bit of a freak show, but at one point in time, I thought he was the heir apparent to heavyweight greatness. I mean, he may have been a nutcase, but that doesn't matter. He could fight. Real good. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two. Hour number two coming up after the break. Of course, we'll talk with Barry on boxing. We'll go into depth on the upcoming boxing schedule and more. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for hour number two. The impeccable one is in the house producing things. Straight up, take it away, Bailey Peck.
Shorts, I'm Gina Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. NFL preseason week 4 kicked off as the Giants at home get a huge win over the Patriots 42-10, and the Steelers win over the Panthers 19-10. 4 games on the WNBA scoreboard on the court to action. The Sun get a win at home over the Mystics 67-56. The Sky win on the road against the Liberty 91-85. Dreaming of a W at home against the Lynx and get it, winning 75-73. And the Aces at home as well win over the Mercury 83-61. Some Major League Baseball action for you as the Athletics on the road get a win over the Twins 8-3. Royals defeat the Rangers 6-4. Brewers on the road get the W against the Cubs 4-1. Dodgers versus Rockies, Dodgers out on top winning 9-5. Nationals win at home against the Mets 9-3. Padres take the W against the Giants 8-4. Red Sox win over the Yankees 6-3. Astros win over the Orioles 7-2. And the Cardinals defeat the Rays 7-4. Want to stay up to date on all things sports or simply want just more sports content? Well, you can go on Instagram and type in at Behind the Sports Show. Give us a follow to stay up to date on everything. You can also visit us online to visit our website at sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your sports shorts presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. ESPN launched when I headed to college in the fall of 1979. I wondered what ESPN stood for and why they picked E in their acronym. Pro Wrestling would have its WWF acronym stripped from them after losing a battle with the World Wildlife Fund and would become the WWE in 2012, with the E standing for entertainment. Very appropriate. And in 2025, the E in ESPN is more fitting than ever before, as last week they inked a deal with the WWE for $325 million over the next 5 years. Know this about ESPN. This is the network that used to thumb its nose at the WWF and WWE not too long ago, with most of its anchors mocking it, calling it wrestling whenever they might give it the time of day. Wrestling is viewed by many as a soap opera for men. There are superstars and divas in the ring, and pro wrestling wants you to follow the scripted entertainment on at least a weekly basis, and viewers have been dedicated to it. The popular Monday Night Raw drew more than a respectable 4 million viewers in year 2000 on the USA Network and was seemingly positioned to grow throughout the 21st century. But instead, those numbers on Monday Night were slashed by exactly half by 2012 and another half to just 1 million in 2024. ESPN's subscriber base has been bleeding on a similar trajectory as the WWE. In 2012, it was at a peak at 100 million households, and by 2024, down 30% to 70 million. Times change, however, and ESPN is now using the E in their acronym to gain those eyeballs back. And by doing so, they are reaching out to many different genres and demographics with their partnership with the WWE. And in turn, they're hoping the soap opera has a happy ending. Sports in 60, times 2, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. Get this, next month will be 41 years of radio. Straight up, I started the show when I was 9 years old, but 41 years of radio, straight up, oh man, never believed it. I remember when I came on the air, and back in 1984, I was a policeman at Potrero Police Station in San Francisco, and I was doing this radio on the phone, and we decided to call it Ring Talk with Charles J. It was on the phone from Florida. So we did this stuff, this radio in Vegas, radio in Florida, and before you knew it, you know, and maybe so I said to myself, I went to Joe Gilardi, the boxing promoter locally. I said to him, listen, I want to do radio. He says, what do you know about radio? He goes, you have no radio experience. I said, Joe, I want to do this radio show. He goes, what do you need? I go, I need $4,000. And Joe Gilardi gave me $4,000 and paid for my first year of buying airtime. And of course, it was a 15-minute show on KEST in San Francisco between an all-Christian show and an all-Filipino show. So after the all-Filipino show went off the air, and then I came in and did my thing for 15 minutes, and when I went off the air, I had a good following, too, because I was in the newspaper each week, The Chronicle, it would say Pedro Fernandez on KEST and the radio guide and all that kind of good stuff. So I was getting all kinds of publicity, and then so the show would end in 15 minutes, and then my fans would call the religious shows and cuss them out. And guess what? There was no eights. There was no six-second delay at KESD. It was like the most primitive radio station in the history of the world. I mean, it was like startup radio. I kid you not. But they had no six-second delay. So all these F words were coming out on the air. It was ugly. Bottom line is, that was my radio star back in the day. But it's been 41 years. It'll be 41 years next month, September 2025. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In the studio with me today is the incomparable Barry Rabbit. Of course, the British boxing hero. We'll talk about boxing in depth with him. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. This is Ring Talk. I went all the way to the end of that open and then choked it. Anyway, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one is in the house. Take it away, Bailey, please.
Glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, I talked an hour in the morning about Ike Abeabuchi's comeback at the age of 52. Let me tell you, Ike has got some really, really serious issues. Serious emotional issues. I kid you not. Raping the hooker. I mean, why would you rape a hooker? I mean, all you've got to do is give her $200. It was either he gives her $200 or he goes to jail for 13 years. I mean, $200 versus 13 years. Even the impeccable one is going to give the chick the $200 plus a tip. You too, Barry?
I think so. Yeah, I think.
I mean, holy! I mean, that was the end. That was the end of his life.
Yeah, yeah. What a waste of a career as well.
What a waste of a career. For beating David Tua, I got to televise that, bro. I mean, I was the HBO international guy, promoter Dan Duva, may he rest in peace. He hired me to do that, and he told me, this is going to be a good one, Pedro. And I'm saying, yeah, because a lot of the HBO fights they ended up doing were not all that. Great. You know what I'm saying? They were just pedestrian. Yeah. They were okay. I mean, I made them sound great. I mean, that was my job to make them better than they are sometimes. But the bottom line is I do these international broadcasts and I would do them for the most part by myself. So when I did that Ike Abeabuchi, David Tua fight in Sacramento, California, after 12 rounds, I was exhausted. I was exhausted. A record number of punches being thrown by heavyweights.
That was one of the best heavyweight fights I ever saw. And I don't think I'd heard of Ibeabuki before. I knew Chua, but I remember thinking, who's Ibeabuki? And
let me tell you the story with David Tua, though. He's of Samoan descent. Okay, there's no doubt about it. Okay, but he's a short little guy. He's about our size. I mean, he's a little bit bigger than
5'10",
wasn't 5'9", 5'9". Like Mike Tyson, lying about his age, okay? So lying about his size. Anyway, his height. So anyway, he was a short little dude. Now, when he was 215, 220 pounds, 210 pounds, he was fast enough to close the distance on the big dudes.
Yeah.
He could close that distance.
That leaping left hook.
Exactly. But when he gained 15 pounds, he was walking around like when he fought Lennox Lewis. He was 15, 20 pounds heavier. Yeah. He was slow, and he went from the throwing Samoan to the slowing Samoan.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I mean, that Ruiz knockout in the early days was fantastic as well. The first round where you jumped on John Ruiz.
John Ruiz should have been arrested for impersonating a heavyweight fighter, though. Come on, man. John Ruiz was a big puss. You know what I used to say? Here's what's up. He's at a David Tua fight. I can't remember Tua was fighting in Vegas, but Tua was fighting somebody, I believe. And he's there. And, of course, he's the big champion that he is and the whole nine yards. How can I put this? He was a bit of – I clowned him. Okay, I mean, okay. I'll just let it go. I'll leave it go. I'm not going to go into depth. I'll just let that go. Bottom line is, the current state of boxing, we are 13 days away from Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. Is this fight going to make up for the fact that Jake Paul and Gervonta Davis are the front page of boxing now?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I couldn't believe the Gervonta Davis news, but I don't know what he's doing, apart from grabbing a big bag of cash. But I don't see how that's even going to look. It's going to be bizarre.
Well, this was planned before the Lamont Roach fight. I mean, that's why the Lamont Roach fight went down the way it was. And of course, he was calling himself the face of boxing and things like that. You know what I'm saying? And in fact, we got a clip of him a little earlier where he talked about himself being the face of boxing. That Canelo was on the way out. That he was a face of boxing and this kind of stuff. But but he lost the fight with Roach. There's no doubt he lost that fight by at least 2 points. At least
very close fight, I thought.
Yeah, I know. But the very fact that That he took that knee and he stuck his head out the ring and the referee didn't take a point or anything like that. They should have at least taken 1 point, maybe called the doctor in and say, hey, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. And that would have made the difference probably in the scoring. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Tank – I think Tank's lost interest. I think the last few years he's been on form and I think he's just lost interest again.
I think the fact that he's got a lot of money, he's from the hood, and he's not – listen, getting beat on, getting pounded on is not healthy.
No, boxing is not healthy. It's not. And I think he's more interested in the money than his legacy, for sure. I think he's always pretty much said that.
Back to the Johnny Ruiz joke. I forgot it a little earlier. Okay. Johnny Ruiz. He's at this David Tua fight, and I'm yelling, Johnny Ruiz! Johnny Ruiz! Johnny Ruiz! And he's getting up and waving to the crowd and everybody. And everybody around me is laughing like, yo, we're dogging him. No, we're laughing, dogging him. You know, Andrew Maynard was there. Everybody was dogging the hell out of him. But Johnny Ruiz, when he beat Holyfield, I had the draw. The first fight was controversial. I televised the first fight. In fact, had Joe Cortez not called a low blow, that fight would have been stopped, and Holyfield would have won by TKO, I think around number nine, something like that. But Joe Cortez pulled a bone that night. It was a Puerto Rican fighter. He's Puerto Rican, coincidence maybe. But the bottom line is he aired that night, and that brought us John Ruiz, because without him, he would have been erased that night.
Yeah. And how many fights did they have? Three in the end? And I don't think any of them were that good.
There's no fight with John. Roy Jones beat John Ruiz.
Yeah. That was kind of an interesting fight. But most of his fights. It was interesting when he got knocked up, but sure.
You know what's the trip about Roy Jones? He beats him, and then in his next fight, he gets knocked out.
Yeah. It's crazy going back down in weight. He looked pretty good at heavyweight.
I talked a little bit earlier about the fact that two Japanese fighters, one of them died a couple weeks ago.
Two guys on the same show.
They both died?
Yeah.
I only thought one of them died. I didn't want to get into it in depth. Yeah. Two guys died. I talked earlier about what Mills Lane had told me. Mills Lane and I were in a car one time, and he said to me, you know, these heavyweights don't end up getting subdural hematomas, Pedro. And I said, huh? He goes, what, like Dr. Mills, you know what I'm saying? Well, he goes, it ain't the big guys usually getting killed. It's always the little guys that are straining to make the weight.
It's the rehydration.
And then we talked about Gerald McClellan, the fact that he went from like 190 down to 168, like in a day and a half.
And he was a big, rangy guy, wasn't
he? Oh, my God. Yeah. Of course, the Nigel Benn fight, when he knocked Nigel out of the ring in the first round, the fight should have been over. The referee pulled a boot. Nine rounds later, he's retarded. That's the best way I can put it. I mean, Gerald McCullen is retarded now.
There was a bad head clash in that fight, wasn't there?
I don't know. It wasn't a head clash. It was the ass whooping he was taking, and he was dehydrated. When you lose that much weight, doctors tell me when you lose that much weight, the fluid that surrounds your brain. In fact, Tommy D talked about this hour number one. Dr. Thomas Dillamuth, in hour number one, that when you lose this fluid around your brain has no cushion.
Yeah,
there's no cushion without the fluid. So, bam, the blows have serious impact.
Yeah, I think. Okay?
And they're fatal. They could be fatal. And, you know, at the Gerald McCullen thing, I went back to Rockport, Illinois. I want to say this, that Jerry Cooney and I were the only two guys in the boxing business that went back and did a fundraiser for Gerald McCullen and Greg Page back around 2004 or something like that, okay? But nobody else in the – I mean, it was all over the web. You know what I'm saying? It was all over the web.
Yep.
I mean, there was an opportunity for thousands of people to donate money, all kinds of stuff like that. Nobody sent a dime. Nobody showed up but me and Jerry Cooney. Jerry Cooney and I.
Wow.
And Jerry Cooney he's got some organization.
He does a lot of good things.
I mean, it's too bad that he was a drunk. And he admits it. It's too bad that he was a drunk. Probably did some blow too in his time. But I'm sure.
But it was the 80s, wasn't it?
He admitted having a thirst problem. Okay, but had he not been a drunk, he might have been truly a great, great fighter. I wouldn't consider him great.
No.
I would consider him good and very good, but he had the potential. He could have hit anybody with that hook. He could have knocked. Listen, Bailey's got a great chin. He could have knocked Bailey out.
Probably. Yeah.
Bailey's in there going like, touching his chin.
Yeah, no, I think they just didn't develop him, did they? They kind of threw him in for the money. I think he had all the potential in the world. You say that left hook was a killer, wasn't it? He reminds me a little bit. He's kind of got the same gangly thing as Tyson Fury, but he punches a lot harder.
Speaking of Tyson Fury, is he in the news? Have you heard anything about him?
I don't think so. No, I'm not sure what he's doing.
Getting fat?
I think he's still training. I've seen little snippets, but there's been no announcements that I can...
I'm 5'8½", and if I was 6'7", I'm repeating this with my boxing skills, I would have never, ever lost a fight in my life. I think I'd still be knocking people dead.
I just
think so. Okay, how does a guy 6'9" end up getting unmotivated and untrained and coming in lackluster and losing fights that he possibly should have won?
Yeah, it's
probably should have won.
Mental issues as well. You're talking about Fury now?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Fury's mind, isn't there? I think it depends on the day with him, but I think he's a great heavyweight.
He's not doing any cocaine anymore, so according to the record.
No, I think he trains every day, that guy.
He did a mountain of coke. You know, he just snorted half of Peru.
Yeah, he looked huge at one point. He was drinking pints.
He was 370 pounds at one point in time.
He looked, his voice changed. He was all gruff, wasn't he? He couldn't even, yeah.
He was a drunk and a coke kid.
Oh, he partied. He's a big boy.
And I give him props because he lost the weight. Let me tell you, I dog people with weight issues. I tend to because I'm slim. And I said, look at me. You know, and it ain't easy. You and I know that diet and exercise, that all plays a role, this and genetics to an extent, this and that. Okay? But, if you're packing 35 or 40 pounds, extra pounds around, and you don't realize it because you're carrying this and it's the norm for you, you know what I'm saying?
So what
I tell people, my fat friends, I tell them, pick up 40 pounds of groceries and walk up the stairs with them.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
And he goes, what are you trying to say? I said, if you picked up the 40 pounds and walked 40 pounds worth of groceries and walked up the stairs, you realize what 40 extra pounds are.
Yeah. I went to a corner store once with 90 bucks in quarters in my back pockets, and I swear to God, it felt like it was my ass. I could feel it dragging me down, sir.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. We'll talk about the upcoming fight schedule. Of course, Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez, just say less than a fortnight away. Of course, talk about the battle in Las Vegas at the Raider Stadium. Of course, 60,000-70,000 people supposedly ready to attend. And guess what? My lawyer tells me, Mark Risman tells me, no tickets for Pedro. Hey, the impeccable one, you got to call that dude. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live worldwide.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a look. little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And I just want to be respected for my era, to be mentioned in the name of Ray Robinson and Marvin Hagler and Ray Leonard, and to be mentioned in the top four and the top five. Wherever you put me at, wherever history put me at, I am grateful and humble to be there.
Philadelphia's executioner, the great Bernard Hopkins. Yes, he was a great fighter, no doubt about that. But he was cheap. Did I tell you, Barry, that I took him? I told you the other time I took him to dinner.
I think you did. Yeah,
the guy. We went to this buffet in Vegas at the Hilton Hotel or something like that. I think it was Riviera Hotel. And we've got this waitress. She's taking care of us at the buffet, right? And she's like running back and forth. She's like sweating. She's running for the headliner. You know what I'm saying? No, she's like. Running back, is there anything else, Mr. Hopkins? So anyway, we're done eating this, and I said, it's time to give her a tip. He goes, I ain't get a tipper. I said, what do you ain't get a tipper? He goes, no, I ain't going to tip her. She goes, she makes a salary. I said, you no good, MF, blah, 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 blah. So I gave her $25. I never let him live that down. Let me go through the heavyweight rankings of the WBA back in June of 1997. The heavyweight champion was Evander Holyfield. The number one contender was vacant. Zelko Maverick was number two. Corey Sanders was number three. Orlin Norris was number four. Henry Akawande was number five. Kirk Johnson was number six. Number seven was John Ruiz. Number eight was the aforementioned Ike Abeyabuchi. Number nine, Jerry Ballard. Number nine, Adelson Rodriguez. Number 11, Franz Botha. Number 12, Andrew Gallada.
That's a weak list.
Yeah, it is a pretty. That's why I brought it up. Pretty weak.
I like Corey Sanders and obviously Abeyabuchi. But
you know, Corey Sanders was good. Corey Sanders beat the Klitschko, right? He beat Klitschko.
Yeah.
He beat Klitschko, big upset. Yeah. All right, but I got to tell you this: he was such a he was a fun guy to be around. I was at the fight down there. Okay. He was a fun guy to be around, and then something went down in South Africa, and there was a beef in a bar, a restaurant, something like that, and he got up to interview, and they killed him.
That's right. He got shot, didn't he? Yeah. He was a wasted talent because he didn't even take it seriously, did he? He didn't look like a fighter. No, I think he preferred golf.
No. Like Terry, did I tell you about Terry Davis, the kid from Vallejo, California?
No.
He won the Golden Gloves with me. He was a white hope. In other words, he was really the guy. White, pretty, could punch the whole nine yards, handsome. And Sylvester Stallone saw him and and took him under his arm. Yeah. And he was trying to, you know, create the next Tommy gun. He was making the role that Tommy Morrison had, right?
Sure.
So anyway, so Stallone's off doing some movie or something like that, and Michelle Pfeiffer was his girlfriend. Talking about Stallone's girlfriend, Michelle Pfeiffer, she's that sexy girl from Hollywood, right? So Terry Davis is out at the pool by himself, and she comes out, and before you know it, she starts rubbing on his thong, his trong, whatever you want to call it this day, and before she gives him a little oral copulation out there at the pool, and before you know it, they're doing it at the pool, okay? So get this. Stallone gets this on videotape. Okay. So Stallone comes back a couple of days later from shooting some movie. I don't know what movie he was shooting at that point in time. He comes back from shooting this movie, and he calls Terry Davis in the office. So he calls Terry in the office, and there's like four or five dudes bigger than Terry in the office. Okay. So Terry said to himself, something's going on here. I'm just going to punch the first guy and run, or something like that, right? So Stallone showed him the film of him banging Michelle Pfeiffer.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I would never have imagined that.
So that's how Tommy Morrison got into the mix.
Because
Terry Davis was taken out.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember the name Terry Davis.
Terry was a good guy. Won the Golden Gloves with me. He beat a guy that named Mike Sapaya in the finals. They have super heavyweight finals. And Mike Sapaya, they had a race riot at school. The black guys were going crazy after Martin Luther King got killed. The black guys were going crazy at school. Yeah. Right? He shut down the race riot by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He had like 15 or 20 brothers running. Yeah, ran from him. They ran from Mike. So he shut this race riot down all by himself, but he couldn't handle Terry Davis. Terry Davis beat him. Terry Davis must have knocked him out four or five times.
Okay.
Terry lit him up. Terry was the quintessential white hope.
Okay. Where's he now?
He's dead.
He's dead. Okay.
Yeah, and then he went to jail for 10 years for child abuse and that kind of stuff. He had some issues. He claimed it was like the ex-wife's, you know, the ex-girlfriend trying to get the house away from him and things like that. So there was some money involved, but no surprise there. Terry was damaged by boxing. You get hit on in the head. You get hit in the head. Listen, people say to me, you know, you talk a lot of spit. I said, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to die when they do an autopsy on me. I hope they do. You know, and if I've got CTE, who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody knows the severe. Nobody knows what CTE is until you get an autopsy. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but you see the signs of CTE in a lot of guys. You can see it happening. Of course, I mentioned a little bit earlier, this is MMA guy, Brian Ortega. He was the most beautiful kid I've ever seen in my life. He was beautiful in MMA like Oscar De La Hoya was in boxing. And you know what De La Hoya did. He was a golden boy. He sold zillions of tickets. I mean, unbelievable, right? Dana White ruined this guy. And, you know, Dana White being the asshole that he is, he ruined this guy. Actually, the guy got into a fight with the champion, and he got cut. And the cut was so bad that it looked like a wrestling cut, and they wouldn't stop it, much like Sebastian Fedora and Tim Zhu.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just total a mess. And you can't fight like that.
No, you
can't fight like that. Yeah. But they don't, these UFC fights, they don't stop them. I can't go for hitting a guy on the ground.
No.
You saw that thing with Roger Jackson I sent you, right? Rampage Jackson's kid.
Did
you see that? That was professional wrestling. That wasn't wrestling, was it?
Yeah. Not at all. Now, once somebody's unconscious, I mean, yeah.
How many times did he hit him when he was unconscious? 25, 30?
He was whacking away, wasn't he?
Elbows?
Yeah. That's
forearms, fists.
Once the guy's out, he's out.
Oh, man.
You can't put him out any further, can you?
That's how you get concussions on top of concussions, though.
You're not bracing yourself, are you?
No. But what I'm trying to say is the guy was concussed, he was out, right? And you're getting hit some more, and that's like another concussion, another brain bleed. In other words, there's a chance that not only did he bleed in one spot, but he might have bled in two spots in the brain.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or more from that type of beating. God knows what I mean, but man, I have never seen nothing that vicious in a professional wrestling match in my entire life. That was real stuff.
A little crazy, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was real stuff. And, you know, speaking of real stuff, you know, Dana White's doing his thing, and I'm not a big fan of Dana White. He's got this Terrence Crawford, Canelo Alvarez fight going up. Of course, Crawford 41 and zip, 31 KOs. Canelo 63-2-2, you know, got a bunch of knockouts, but he hasn't knocked anybody out since Bailey was in elementary school. I mean, he hasn't. I mean, the last number one guy he fought was that Yakur Yafir or something like that, the Iranian guy, and that was in 2021. And he stopped the guy in the third round. That was the last number one contender he fought. I mean, Paulie Malignaggi said this on we played the tape of him time and time again. This is the biggest duck in the history of boxing, him ducking David Benavidez.
He's been cruising the last few years, hasn't he?
Cruising ain't the word for it, man. Yeah. And I'm just hoping that Terrence Crawford can kick the absolute snot out of him. I know size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, and that's the reason why you would go with Canelo if you're going with Canelo, right, size?
Yeah, not just size. I mean, he's got skill and... I just think,
skills, but you don't think the other guy's more skilled?
I think he is, but do you think Crawford's going to hurt him? I mean, is he going to put a dent in him?
Here's what's up, because I don't, just because you fight at 168 pounds doesn't mean you have an 168 pound chin, okay?
But Canelo's...
Let me finish, okay? Canelo's, Canelo to me is a fat junior middleweight. He's at least a fat middleweight, campaigning at 168 because he doesn't want to knock off the extra weight.
Yeah,
okay?
I could see him at middleweight for sure.
All right.
I don't know about light middleweight.
The extra 8 pounds, he accused David Benavidez of being a weight bully, and Dave Benavidez was going to come in 200 pounds, something like that. So you know what Benavidez told him? Tell me what weight you want me to come in at, and I'll come in at that weight.
Yeah. Benavidez wants that fight, whichever way, doesn't he?
So and of course, Benavidez is going to take on Anthony Yardy on November 22nd. You know what November 22nd is famous for, right? That's the day the last coup took place here in the United States when they killed Kennedy in 1963.
Okay.
November 22nd, 1963, blew his brains out, of course, into the street there in Dallas.
Yep,
and if you look at a picture of the back of Kennedy's head, it's intact, even though when he went to the hospital and on the autopsy and all this kind of stuff, there's a big hole in the back of his head. There's no hole in any of the pictures shown by the government. None. Huh. But there are by the drawings of the doctors involved and things like that. And I interviewed a doctor that was worked on, Charles Crenshaw. He worked on John Kennedy. I interviewed him in 1993. I was in Dallas, Texas, and he told me there was a golf ball-sized hole in the back of Kennedy's head. And you don't see that in any of the JFK assassination pictures. None. A golf ball-sized bullet.
He said there was a
you can't miss that. But he said there was a bullet hole above Kennedy's eye, and that blew the back of his head out.
That's
what they don't notice. It was a bullet hole above his eye. Of course, it was right near his hairline. People didn't see that. How did I get into the JFK assassination? I have no idea. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are 13 days away from Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. I'm not a big fan of Canelo Alvarez, as you can tell, of course. I would like to see, I just wish he would go away. He's sort of like Jake Paul. He's almost like, he's not quite the Jake Paul clown, but he's getting close.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel as bad about him as you do. You definitely duck Benavidez, and I don't really get that excited about his fights these days, but this one I'll get up for, I think. But it's going to be interesting.
Here's what's up. The reason why you're getting up for it is that Terrence Crawford's involved.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's kind of intriguing. When I first heard about it, I wasn't interested, to be honest. I thought it was kind of a crazy idea. But people have now really gotten behind Crawford in this.
But here's what's up. Skills pay bills, and if you put these two guys on a skill level, Crawford's better. And I'm going to tell you like this. People laugh, but I used to kick the spit and spit with an H. I used to kick the snot out of the guys who were bigger than me in the gym. Just beat their ass. In fact, it was like, but, I don't think I could do that in a fight because when I fought that real welterweight in the National Golden Gloves, I moved up from junior welterweight to welterweight, I got licked like a stamp.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, whoa!
And the crazy thing here is I think Canelo has better defense. So the little guy's coming up. He gets hit more, which isn't a good thing.
And he's 37 years old, too.
Yeah.
Crawford Canelo's gets hit 35.
Flush. He eats him, but not from a 168-pounder.
But Canelo's 35 going on 90, isn't he?
He still looks pretty fresh to me, to be honest with you. I think he looks pretty... I think he's just been cruising. I think he's got more left than he's been showing. He hasn't had to show it.
Interesting. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Barry the British. Barry... Ah, here we go again. I'm stuttering. I'm blaming the impeccable one in the other room because he pointed at me that the station break's coming up and something like that, and I started stuttering. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll return with the British boxing hair, Barry Rabbits, right after this.
Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it.
Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you. But you decide if you pay it in full. But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Hey, oh.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
When I whoop this man, I want to be declared by all as the greatest of all time.
That's right.
Because the stage is set. I'm 32 years old. My legs are gone. This man is strong. You talk about how great he was, and now we're going to see. Get them all out of your theaters, and you write everything you write, but I'm going to make you eat everything you say against me, all of my critics. I'll prove to the world that I'm still the fastest, the prettiest, the most classiest, the most scientific, the greatest fighter of all time.
I don't think I can argue with that. Can you?
Greatest heavyweight for sure.
Greatest heavyweight for sure.
Yeah.
Best fighter ever was, I thought, was Roberto Duran.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Can't go from 122, world class at 126, and world ranked in the top 10 back when there was only a top 10. Okay. It wasn't like 19 top 10s. He was ranked in the top 10 by Ring Magazine at 126 pounds, and then he ended up winning a lightweight championship. Then he defended that title a record number of times. Skipped 140 because of Antonio Cervantes was the coke guy down there in Bogota, Colombia. That's another story for another day. He skipped 140 because the WBA didn't want him getting killed. It was their guy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he moved up to 147 and pulled off the biggest upset, or huge upset, June 20th, 1980, when he beat Ray Leonard at the Brawl in Montreal. That was probably, I would say that was his greatest moment, and then he beat Barkley.
Yeah.
So what do you say? And then he went 15 rounds with Marvin Hagler. And Hagler never went the distance with anybody.
I mean, amazing career. Late 60s to late 80s, he was a world-class fighter.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, the guy everybody's getting up about, when I say you get up, you don't need no Viagra to get up about this guy. I'm talking about Moses Aitama, 13-0, 11 knockouts. Of course, annihilated Dillian White last week. Of course, the fight ended in the first round like in a minute and a half. And he we'll pay an interview in a couple of minutes. And I'll steal a little line from him. He thought the fight lasted like 3 or 4 minutes or something. He thought, it lasted a lot longer in his mind than it lasted in actual reality. Okay. Bottom line is, let's hear from Moses Aitama.
Congratulations on the biggest win of your career.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
I'd like to say a big thank you to the Saudi crowd, the English crowd, all the crowd around the world watching this. I appreciate you lot. I love and respect you lot. Second of all, I'd like to thank His Excellency because he made this fight happen. Frank Warren made this fight happen. So thank you very much. And the final person I'd like to say a thank you to is the body snatcher, Dillian White. If it wasn't for him, it takes two to tango. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to showcase my skills.
You always said throughout the week, if I stick to my game plan, we get this job done quick. I don't think you meant that quick, the very first round. You expected this to go a bit longer.
To be honest, like what Ben was telling me what to do, for the first maybe 2-3 minutes, I saw he was doing exactly what Ben telling me to do, but it's just, you know, the fight nerves, whatnot kicked in. And then after maybe like the first minute, I was like, okay, cool. I keep seeing this happen. I can't miss it. So, yeah, man, executed the game plan.
It was a really good Dillian White. Let's not take away the fact it was the first round. We saw him all week and he looked incredible. Everyone kept speaking about it. 244 pounds, physically looked insane. That really is a fantastic performance, Moses.
I appreciate it, man. What's next? What's next? What's next?
That's my job. That's my job to ask.
What's next?
What? Who do you want next, Moses? The world's your oyster right now. Who do you want to fight next?
Honestly, I'll fight anyone they put in front of me. So you shout a couple names out and I'm there.
Can I say a couple of names to you?
Usyk. He's not saying Usyk.
There's a few saying Usyk.
Listen. If I be completely honest, Joseph Parker and Caballero do deserve the shot, but I'd love to take that opportunity as well. Chuck me in there with them lot.
Well, that was Moses Itama. Of course, you know, he looks spectacular against Dillian White. Dillian White had come in shape. Dillian White, of course, long in the tooth as far as his age and his boxing miles on his body is concerned, but he'd been stopped three times later in fights. Of course, I said that the only way that Mr. Moses would shine is if he went out there and did it quicker than anybody else. And he did it quicker than anybody else. But, you know, is Dillian White a measuring stick? Is he a good measuring stick in your mind?
I think at this stage in his career, probably he is, but I don't think he had much left. He looked great, but that's not always the case, is it? It's kind of
Muhammad Ali was 217 and a half pounds against Larry Holmes, and Light wasn't. You know what Angelo Dundee told me? Son, that day Light wasn't right.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. As you get older, you want to put a little bit of weight on, don't you? You're not always in as good shape as you.
I miss him. I just brought him up. I miss him. You know, I one day we did a show at the International Boxing Hall of Fame. The great Angelo Dundee, myself, and his wife, and I think his wife's name was I'm blowing it again, but his wife's name was Jenny, and I kept calling her Marie. I was calling the wrong name for like an hour. Okay, I'll Google it after the break. But anyway, I called her the wrong name for an hour, and the Dundees never corrected me. I said, "We're coming back here with Nancy and Angelo and blah blah." I had the name all wrong and this and that, and they never corrected me for the entire hour. So the hour was over. They go, "By the way, her name is Eileen or something like that." Right. And I was hurt.
I
really felt bad because, you know, I did a whole hour with this icon.
Yeah. Once you're gone, so unless you correct it straight away,
you
might have let it go.
You know, that's like putting toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. When you gaff, there's no doubt about it. Now, you think that Moses Itama has a chance of being the future Rage?
I think so, for sure.
Is he the Rage now?
I think he could hang with anyone right now, but it's probably smart to take a couple more testing fights first, I would say.
Why is Oleg Usyk good?
There's a lot of things going on with Usyk. Super smart. And, all that experience. Super skilled guy. He's a professional.
Could he have rumbled with some of the better heavyweights in this era of prior eras?
I think so, I think he's gotten a little bigger and bulkier, and I think he's settled into the weight now. I mean, the way he handled Dubois last time out, he was punching like a heavyweight. So.
Yeah, but Dubois, what's the story with Dubois? I mean, he's not a boxer. He's not Pernell Whitaker. What's he trying to be Pernell Whitaker for? He should have went in there and tried to impose his will. Yeah. He didn't even try.
He has to go forward, Dubois.
He never tried.
Yeah, I think he did. But if you notice, he wasn't hitting anything. I think he was just hitting air.
But you know what? I caught him closing his eyes a couple of times.
Oh, really?
I said to myself, this guy is not here to win. You know, I mean, throw a punch. You know, you throw a punch with your eyes closed. What are you looking for?
I think he was just outclassed, wasn't he? Really?
I think he was outclassed, but he was mentally beaten before he even stepped between the ropes.
Yeah, that's probably one of his weaknesses, because he's a big, sturdy guy. He can punch, but his mentality isn't the strongest. We've seen that before. So
okay, so who's the other guy in the heavyweight division from Germany? Kabeel? Is he the real deal?
I'd love that guy, yeah. I mean, I've never seen a heavyweight attack the body consistently like him, every fight in, fight out. And that's the one guy Usyk probably doesn't want to get in there with.
But you think Usyk could have handled guys like George Foreman and guys like that?
I think that'd be a bad matchup, to be honest with you. 70s.
That would be like a Joe Frazier fight almost, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Foreman was a plodder, and Usyk can really move, but at some point Foreman's going to land. And I don't know.
I used to watch in the gym here in San Francisco. I used to watch George Foreman. Archie Moore would be in his corner. And he would beat up guys like the Impeccable in the other room. I mean, like, he's small. me and Bailey. I mean, guys like 165, 170 pounds. Yeah. George Foreman is like 6'3" and 225, 230 pounds. And he's kicking the spit out of these guys in the gym, right, for like $5 a round.
Oh, really?
And nobody's lasting too many rounds with him.
He was
a bully. And my father, I just kind of caught a fly. My father said, he's a bully, Pete. He's a bully. I said, what do you mean he's a bully? I said, I don't know. What's a bully? He goes, he only beats up about smaller guys. He goes, see what happens when somebody his size gets in there with him.
Yeah.
Right? Wait. So then some guy his size got in there with him and George kicked his ass. I said, Dad, what you got to say now?
Yeah. He was a mean dude. And I didn't even believe the second time round, with a big smile on his face and the cheeseburger.
Oh, the cheeseburgers? Here's what happened. Listen, I knew him before the metamorphosis, per se, from a chameleon to a butterfly, because that's basically he went from a thug to God's guy and this kind of stuff.
I thought it
was a front, because most religions, I think, are a front to begin with. Okay?
Yeah, me too.
I asked this earlier, in hour one, I'll go back to this for a second and go, If they told you about religion, in other words, if you never heard anything about religion until you were 18 years old, and they told you that virgin mothers existed and that people walked on water and all that kind of good stuff, you'd say this is some type of a scam. If you were 18 years old, they run there. But since they indoctrinate you that way in such a young kid, you're sort of brainwashed into that. You feel me?
Yeah, we never really had much of that in England. I didn't grow up with any religion,
so I did escape it.
So.
I was part of the Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church is an all-white Norwegian church here in San Francisco. I was the only brown guy in the church.
Okay.
I was the only brown guy in the church. And of course, I got in trouble for asking questions.
Yeah.
I said, who painted that picture of Jesus Christ? You know, the picture was in our Sunday school class.
Who painted
the picture? He goes, I had been to the museum. I was 10 years old. I'd been to the museum the week before, and all the artists signed their name in the bottom right-hand corner. So I was looking at the picture. I said, no artist signed it, because that's what the lady said to me. That's not a photograph. I said, who took the picture of? I thought it was a photograph. Who took the picture of Jesus? He goes, that's not a photograph. An artist drew that. I said, who was the artist's name? Anyway, they sent me to the dean's office. They sent me, because they couldn't answer the goddamn question. They sent me to the dean's office, and my old man comes down to school. He's ready to kick my ass. You get him away from the football on Sunday, the NFL on football, Sunday. You get him away from that to bring him down to church to pick me up. He don't like the church anyway, because they're all white, and this is me and him are brown. This is the only two brown guys in the entire church, right? So he goes in there, and he says to her, what's the beef? And then he says, well, you know, the kid was asking too many questions, blah, 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 blah. He said, what?
Anyway,
they told me you didn't have to go to church anymore if you didn't want to.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
It's a big win then.
You know, it was win-win. And as far as the church was concerned, they did well without me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't asking. I mean, I'm the only kid in school. I was the only kid that had any curiosity in the class. The other kids, like, dweebs, dolts. I don't mean adult. I said dolt. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that religious track. But anyway, back to the heavyweight division. Let's go down it right now. Usyk, Kabeel, Dubois, we can erase him. Joseph Parker, Fabio Wardley. Could Wardley fight at all?
I think he can definitely fight. I just don't know if he boxes that well, but he's tough as nails.
How good is Lawrence Okolie?
I wasn't even that keen on Okolie at cruiserweight. So, no, I'm not a big fan.
Okay, Joshua, got anything left?
A little bit, but yeah, when he gets hit on the chin,
Did you hear Andre Ward was talking about coming out of retirement to fight him or something like that?
He just wants the money, doesn't he? And yeah.
You know, Andre had a wonderful opportunity. You know, I was with Andre Ward before he won the gold medal and all that kind of good stuff. He lost one fight over in Oakland, California. He was an amateur and he got ripped off. I remember I was there that day, but I didn't see the fight. So anyway, he went into the Olympics with a sterling record, no doubt about it, but he was fighting in the division 15 pounds heavier than his normal weight.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So everybody told me he was going to get licked, he was going to get boxed. No, man, he's going to win. So he wins the gold medal and he comes back, and from that point forward, I thought maybe I had the next Ray Leonard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was married, had a nice wife, Tiffany, the kids, the whole nine yards. I mean, he was like the Waltons, you know, in boxing. You know what I'm saying? He just was like the Waltons in boxing. And then he just never delivered in the ring. So no, there wasn't any superstar-like performances, were there?
No. His fights weren't very exciting, were they? No. He was kind of a fighter that would shut down other fighters rather than, do you know what I mean? He'd take away their strengths, but I never got excited.
I mean, the only fight he really looked good in was the second Kovalev fight where he came out with Kovalev was so old and long in the tooth.
Even then, I think the end was dubious for sure. The first fight he looked good, but yeah, he lost that fight for sure.
Okay, so there's nobody else. I'm not looking at it. One more question about a heavyweight. How good is Michael Hunter?
I think he was a good fighter, but he's getting old now, isn't he? He's been around a while.
37.
Yeah, I've not heard from him.
You know, I televised his father's fights.
Yeah,
Michael the Bounty Hunter.
He's the big muscled guy.
He was the nuttiest mother ducker I've ever been involved with in boxing.
Really?
And there's a lot of nutty dudes, man.
Yeah,
but he was
yeah.
absolutely spay. I mean, he did some stuff. He's like, blow me. He'd be in the middle of the ring, and he would stop, and there was a boxing match going on, and he'd look up to God.
Oh, really?
All kinds of crazy stuff. And I televised his fights at Don Frazier, the Irvine Marriott Hotel back in the late 1980s. Of course, I was in Irvine. Of course, that was a place where they didn't want to serve me food in a restaurant with my boxers because we were brown. I brought a bunch of brown kids into this restaurant to get fed. I had big money. I'm paying for all these kids. And they looked at us like poo-poo. And the lady says to me, are you sure you can afford this? I said, you know what, lady? I said, if we don't get the best steak and eggs in the entire world, I said, not only am I going to sue you, I said, boom, I'm a San Francisco policeman. I'm going after you with the attorney general.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they took real good care of us.
Okay, yeah.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk, not police talk. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. We'll be back and conclude. We'll be back and conclude things. I threw things across the window here with Barry Rabbits right after the break.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
God bless America, Pedro. Sports Byline. Hey, baby.
Don King doing a Sports Byline commercial there. Of course, Don King turned 94 this week. I told you the Don King story a little bit earlier. I told Barry during the commercial, but Barry said, you said that on the air? Yeah, I did. Straight up, it's a quote from Don King. Of course, next week I'll talk about Don King, myself, and Isidore in Bogota, Colombia. And this was a while. I had to physically assault a cab driver. I kid you not. And then we were driving through town, and we're in a cab, and a bomb went off like a block away, and it shook the taxi cab. I said to myself, Don, I don't care how much money you give me, this spit ain't worth it. When I say spit with an H. And that wasn't the heavy part of the story. I'll tell the heavy part of the story next week. Straight up, Barry, let's talk about the September 12th card, of course, here in the United States, Allegiant Stadium, the home of the Los Angeles Raiders, formerly the Oakland Raiders, Saul Alvarez and Terrence Crawford on top, Mubili and Lester Martinez, a battle of unbeatens, and the co-feature, Sergio Bojacek and Brandon Adams, and Fernando Vargas, Callum Walsh. Fernando Vargas is not the he's a namesake of Fernando Vargas, but he's not the better of the brothers. I mean, Emiliano Vargas is head and shoulders better than him.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh,
better,
yeah, head, yeah, and shoulders. Okay, okay. Head and shoulders. And, of course, we've got Ivan Dico, that's what it says here, 18-15-0. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, versus Jermaine Franklin, who's 23-2. Steve Nelson versus Rollinson. There's nothing here. You need Viagra for the undercard.
Yeah, nothing special. I like unbeaten matchups. There's a couple of those there, aren't there? But yeah, I'm not particularly excited.
Yeah,
but
a lot of times they put these unbeaten matches in there against guys that are like ranked number 9. The other guys ranked like number 90.
Yeah, and yeah. Two of those matchups are two undefeated guys, aren't they?
Yeah, well, here's what's up. Best fight on the card, I think, is going to be Saul Alvarez and Terrence Crawford, because I think Terrence Crawford's got a good chance of winning. Last second prediction, you're going to go with Canelo?
I'm going with Canelo, yeah.
Straight,
yeah,
up. Barry Rabbits, it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. I thank you so much, and I hope that weed that I gave you makes you happy.
Medicine.
Medicine? Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yes, I'm a proponent of that stuff. I don't believe in the liquor stuff. I think it's the white man's alcohol. I think it's the white man's poison. Straight up, why do I say that? Too many alcoholics in the family. Till next time, Ring Talk is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.